Hi, welcome to Missouri Made, the podcast that gives you an insider look at Missouri politics. I'm State Representative Deb Lavender, representing District 90, Kirkwood Glendale area of the St. Louis County. Today, we're going to talk about the budget in Missouri. The budget, many of us feel, is the most important thing that the legislature does from year to year. It is challenging to explain it in a simple manner, and maybe that's because it is $27 billion that as a state we spend on our budget. But I'm going to try to very succinctly, so we start out in January with Governor Parson's budget, or the governor's budget. Governor presents to us a budget. The budget committee on the House side then sits and listens to all of our departments, talk to us about what's in their budget, the programs they already do, the new programs that they want to develop, and then as appropriations committee, so a smaller breakdown groups of the budget, meet to discuss each individual director's or department's budget, and then we make recommendations on we like the way the governor has offered his budget to us, or we want to make some changes. We take those recommendations back to the budget chair, who then puts together his budget. So the budget chairman drops his substitute budget for the governor's, and then at that point, the entire budget committee of 35 members then meets and talks about amendments. We spent about 10 hours this past Monday working in the full budget on amendments to the budget. So then after that point, the budget will go to the House floor, so the week after spring break, which is the week of March 18th, the week of March 25th, is when we will speak on the budget on the House floor, when again now all members can offer amendments to the budget. After we complete that project over here in the House, then it goes to the Senate. And the Senate Appropriations Committee have already been doing some of the similar work. They've been meeting with the departments. They've been going through the budget books. They know the recommendations. They know what the new items are that departments want to try this next year. So they've already been working on this as well. But when the House finishes it, we turn the budget over to the Senate, and then they look at and decide where they want to move money and how they might want to change what the House has done. When the Senate is finished near the third to fourth week of April, they send back to us their version of the budget. Of course, just procedurally, we don't like what they did, they don't like what we did, and then we go to conference committee. And it's in conference committee that we iron out the differences between what the Senate would like to do and what the House would like to do. So it really is a tedious process. It's a long, involved process. There are many people involved, the departments, the directors, the organizations across our state that receive state money. So there's really a lot that goes into it. So hopefully that's as succinct maybe a definition as I can give you for what truly happens from start to finish here in the budget. Joining me today is my chief of staff, Hannah Hall. So we're going to talk a little bit more in depth then with some examples of how all of this process goes through. So Hannah, thanks for being with me today.
Thanks. I'm really excited to be here. It's my first session and I'm learning a lot about the budget, having come in with not much of an understanding of how it works in the state of Missouri. It has been incredibly interesting to learn about. Not always the thing that you think is the most exciting when you think about what state government does, but what the committee and what the legislature does with the budget is one of the only things they're required to do. It's one of the most important things that they do, and it is really important to what else happens throughout the year.
My first awareness of Missouri's budget was my very first year here, and I was not put on budget my first term. And so people are talking about budget and, gee, we have our big budget meeting tonight. And I said, well, can I come sit in? And they said, yes. Committee hearings that I had been to, you will certainly have people that are there to testify for or against or listen to bills that are going. But the first day I walked into the budget hearing room, it was standing room only. And so that was my kind of first impression of the public and departments and lobbyists and organizations, that I fully realized how important our budget is and how many people it affects in our state. In some ways, you could say it affects everyone in our state, whether we're putting money towards roads and bridges, whether we're putting money towards college tuitions and educations, whether we're putting money towards healthcare or not putting money towards healthcare, you really can say our $27 billion budget affects everyone in our state. So it really is pretty fascinating, and there's so many rabbit holes, tunnels that you can go down on where and how we spend money in this state. You could stay busy full-time, year-round, just understanding, learning, and deciding how and what you want to do with this budget.
Right. An example of a department testifying, the Department of Revenue has been in the headlines a lot this session. We've had issues with revenue coming in because of tax changes on both the state and federal level. Do you want to speak a little bit about their testimony?
Yeah, very good. That has been a great concern for a lot of us Democrats. So in December of 2017, Trump gave a tax cut to America. I call it his Christmas present that year. And then last year, the state of Missouri offered another tax cut. We've offered tax cuts mostly to corporations over the last 6 or 8 years now. We gave a major tax cut last year. Democrats were very concerned with some of the language that was in it. We were actually concerned we were going to raise taxes for middle and low-income Missourians.
Wow.
But one of the things that happened from Trump and then the tax cuts we gave last year was they redid the withholding tables. So if you work for an employer and you get your paycheck, you have taxes taken out of your paycheck. So you know you made $400 last week. You know you paid the federal government $45. You paid the state $20. And then you had Social Security and Medicaid taxes taken out of it. Well, we know now that the tables that your employer were given were wrong, and they were not taking out as much Missouri tax as they should have been taking out. So for a while, it looked as if people were actually getting a raise, or you know, that increase in their take-home pay, and you thought, isn't this great? We've got a tax cut. Well, what we really think it was is that we were incorrectly taking out the amount of taxes from your check.
Right.
So you saw a boost in take-home pay, but now in Missouri, we're very worried about people having surprise tax bills. So that's a concern to us. We've offered, our minority leader, Crystal Quaid, has offered some legislation to try to, if you owe more money than you expected, to at least make sure you don't have penalties and interest charged to you. And then also as a result of that, Missouri is $350 million behind in revenue where we expect to be today. And so that's where my concerns of, in these tax cuts, it actually will mount to an increase in taxes for middle and low income Missourians. That's where my concern is not only were you under withhold in your taxes, in actuality you will be paying more than you did last year.
And then not only with the tax cut, but now there's less revenue to fund the services that all Missourians are depending on.
Right. My ranking member, Kip Kendrick, we had him featured here a couple of weeks ago, said, oh, goodness, 6 weeks ago, we all have to hope that our constituents owe us more money. And that thought terrifies me. You know, what a horrible position for representatives of our state, keeping our fingers crossed that people owe us more money than they think they do, so we balance our budget. You know, it's not a good place to be in. We never want our constituents to be surprised by a tax bill they didn't expect. So great concerns about that, as well as you're correct too, whether or not our budget will balance. This is end of March, mid-March. This fiscal year goes till the end of June. So we are $350 million behind in our expectations of revenue. And the more we're behind, the more services and programs the governor may need to cut, because we just truly don't have the money coming in the door. It's a cash flow issue at that point.
Right. Then after all, we heard from all of the departments, the Appropriations Subcommittee met. You are on Health, Mental Health Appropriations Committee. And that is where you first started proposing different amendments that you have, trying to move money around. I know a lot of what you've been focusing on is what we are fond of, budget line 10.815.
Yes.
That means something to us, doesn't to a lot of people.
Right, right. But it is fun At this time of the year, people will see the chairman's, well, the now the budget committee substitute, and they'll either see they have money for the things that they have worked for this session, or they don't. And it's just very succinct. There are lines in the budget. 10.815 is a line where we put money on for independent waivers. Well, an independent waiver is somebody who has physical disabilities to the degree that they need more help in their home than our consumer-directed services provides. It gets complicated pretty quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Today we have 160 people on a waiting list for that waiver. So we worked very hard. We were successful in the Appropriations Committee on moving money. We need $700,000. And where that is a lot of money, and it sounds like a lot of money, when we're talking about a $27 billion budget, the $700,000 to take care of these 160 people who are on this waiting list for a service that's already offered is not a lot of money in our budget. So we were successful in the appropriations. Unfortunately, our budget chair cut it out. And even more unfortunately, I was not able to introduce amendments in our budget committee this past Monday that made a difference. And I offered them several different ways of being able to put that $700,000 on that line. And we were turned down at every request that we made for that line to be restored.
Right. And in order to find the money, when we find money, it's looking under the couch cushions of the state, trying to find where it's going to come from. If we have a program like independent waivers that is deserving and needs more funds, we have to find that money from somewhere else in order to get there.
Let's just remind everybody, Missouri is a balanced budget state.
Right.
So for us to put $700,000 onto a line for independent waiver, we have to cut it from somewhere
right.
else. Or as you're saying, and that's where we're going, where do you find that money? So because we have a balanced budget, now we borrow money as a state, but we do that with voter approval. We pay our debt down every year. That is the first House bill that we do. We all honor that we pay our debt. And then after that, to be balanced, if we want to increase money somewhere, you have to decrease it from somewhere.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly where I was going with that. We have to take money that the state already has if we want to fund something. We have a ton of deserving programs that help Missouri, and it's difficult to decide where to take the money from if we want to fund something that we're looking into. I know something that has been a great focus of yours this session has been to look into funds that departments already have as an alternative to cutting budgets of other programs. When we say funds of departments have piggy banks where they've been collecting money. Maybe it's general revenue that they've already been allocated. Maybe it's donations, tax.
Federal reimbursement
yep.
for programs. So
right.
many people know that, certainly for our roads, but also for our health care, there are federal government matches monies that we pay. And right now, especially in our healthcare systems, the federal government gives us 65 cents for every dollar we spend. So they reimburse us that money. And a lot of these fund balances have large balances because of federal reimbursement dollars from our healthcare programs.
Right. So we have funds labeled federal funds, but those are federal dollars that are reimbursements to the state that are not the state's dollars to use.
Right.
You know, a lot of these funds have strings attached to them. Some of them have donation strings. But the bottom line is that these are funds of the state that aren't being utilized. It's something that we're learning more about. It's difficult to understand. All of them are different. There's a ton of them. But outside of our general revenue, we have piggy banks of money that could really be better utilized to help the state.
Yeah. My first year on budget, which is 3 years ago now, somebody talked to me. It's called Form 9. And it's a form that we call a reporting mechanism of these piggy banks. So I found these 3 years ago. And because of term limits, there was hardly anybody else on our House floor that even knew what I was talking about. And so as I found 3 years ago, there was $3.2 billion sitting in about 469 funds or piggy banks is also a way I like to look at that. Think about piggy banks around this Capitol building. and there's money in them.
Right. And keeping in mind that some funds may already have been allocated to projects in the work, $3.2 billion is a whole lot of money. I want to make a quick comment on what you said about the state having a $27 billion budget. It sounds like a lot to a normal person. When you think about all of the things that the state does, providing schools, providing roads, helping people be contributing members, it is not as much as it sounds like it is. We've gone through a lot of tax cuts, but if you account for inflation and look at different things, the state's budget has been shrinking. You know, compared to 1980 levels, when we decided as a state not to raise taxes, our budget is smaller. And so the things like Medicaid and healthcare are comprising a bigger percentage, but it's really because the budget of Missouri is shrinking and it's really putting pressure on a lot of the services that we provide.
You're right. $27 billion is a lot of money. One third of that comes from revenue of the state. And then the rest comes from either other fees. So you pay to have your car license, you pay for your driver's license, you pay taxes, sales tax. So another third of our budget comes from those other methods of resource of income. And then the federal government in reimbursing us, as we talked, whether it's roads or bridges or healthcare, is the third of our budget. So if you think, and I'll just make numbers simple, if the Missouri's portion of our budget is $10 million, we have more than 6,000 residents. We're really talking about $1,600 per person to live in the state of Missouri. So if you really think $1,600 per Missourian for the services that the state provides for you is really not that much money. And we are one of the lowest states in the nation for our taxes. And so we keep talking about how we should not be taking people's money for taxes. We need to cut taxes. You know, we're at a point, most places across our nation, we have cut taxes to such a degree that we're talking about now services not being available for people.
Right.
And I look back upon when we created the Hoover Dam and when we built the internet highway system across this nation. And when we truly invested in the people of our nation for these incredibly huge projects, well, now our bridges are truly about ready to fall down in Missouri. Highway 70 across our state is crumbling and needs to be repaired. And we look at taxes as being an evil thing that the government puts upon us instead of realizing the services that it provides for us.
Right. We have promised, a lot of the state legislators have promised to stop raising taxes, but as you talked about, we have taxes and then we have other sources of revenue such as fees. And a lot of times we increase fees because we say we're not increasing taxes, but the bottom line is the state needs a certain amount of money. And what I have seen is that a lot of rural areas, agriculture, farmers are disproportionately affected by this because we don't have enough tax revenue, so we're increasing fees on farmers. I don't know enough about how that works yet, but I'm learning. And farmers are taking the blunt end of this because their fees are going up because we don't have enough money to pay for the services that they need. Inspection fees, different things like that.
Yeah,
and
you're
those fees are going up.
We we're currently in the process of raising fees to our farmers for seeds and fertilizer because we don't have enough money. And it fascinates me as somebody who's worked on our budget now for just these 3 years, how often I'm told we don't have the money to cover that program. It fascinates me how often my Republican colleagues have bills on the floor that are a good idea, but have a cost to them of $500,000, $750,000. This one's only going to cost us $2 million. And I just kind of parrot back to them, well, we don't have the money.
Right.
You got a great idea. I support your idea. I don't know how you're going to pay for it. Another example, and you're right, for most of Missouri, is we have cut today, right now, the budget does not have $5 million in it for broadband expansion into our rural areas. It means that we don't care about them having broadband. And that's kind of more succinct than I should be, but in rural Missouri, and I had somebody yesterday here in Jefferson City. Broadband is sometimes sketchy.
Yeah.
So yesterday in Ag Policy Committee, we were talking about tax credits for somebody bringing jobs to Missouri. It's fiscal note. The cost that it'll cost the state is $5 million. A cattle farmer sitting next to me said we would be better off putting that $5 million into broadband expansion.
Right.
You want to create jobs, give people a reliable access to the internet. Let them have a home-based business, sell the products that they have. But if they don't have reliable access to broadband, they're not going to have that opportunity.
Right. So that means economic development. You can't have a reliable business if you can't communicate in the way that has become customary. Schools, we're trying to educate people the best we can. They don't have access to all the resources that they might not have physically, but it has come to the point where we can get them a lot of those resources through the internet.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. We'll end on this. One last thing is we're not paying rural school districts enough money to transport their kids to school.
Yeah.
So transportation out in rural Missouri is more challenging than in my town. You know, my entire town is much, much smaller than rural counties. And they need the school buses to get the kids to school. So many of our rural areas are now going to school 4 days a week to save on transportation. I think that's a disservice to our students. They are having the kids go to school for longer days, 4 days a week. Kids don't learn best that way.
Right.
We know that. And so we are sacrificing the education of our communities because we've decided it's more important to cut taxes than to invest in the people of Missouri.
Right. And then what does that do for working parents?
Right.
Who have
all
to have child care. Yeah.
It's circulous. As I think I'm as conservative on that floor when it comes to fiscal policy as any of my Republican colleagues. I am quite often the one talking about how much money this is going to cost us and where do they have money. And I vote no on those bills a lot more than they do. So I'm intrigued. I've heard for a long time that the Republicans are my, you know, fiscal conservative. They know how to not spend a dollar. And I have not found that to be true. I have found that they spend our money with greater abandon. And yet, then the other side is then they cut taxes. So the irresponsibility of wanting to increase programs but not wanting to fund it
Right. Just
leaves me puzzled most of the time up there.
Right.
So, well, Hannah, I want to thank you. And this is interesting today. So quite often we have background noises. We are actually taping this early on a Thursday morning. And you may or may not have heard the wind howling outside our office this morning. So we thought we were going to try to get away from the building noises today. But instead, the weather is challenging us with some sound in the background. So thank you for listening. If you have thoughts or suggestions or you have questions on what you want to hear or know about what happens in this building, please contact us and give us a topic that you're interested in. And we're happy to see if we can't craft a podcast for that. Please subscribe to the podcast. We'll have a new episode each week. Follow me on Facebook and on Twitter at Deb Lavender. We'll have a website for you where you can find all of our episodes, videos from the Capitol, and more. Thank you for listening.